This is Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Michael Williams.
Hello, welcome to this edition of Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman, and I'm your host, Michael Williams. Today we're going to talk about where have all the leaders gone? And that's a big issue because I'm not sure the leaders have gone anywhere. It's just they've been redefined. They wear different clothes. They look differently. They act differently. But it does kind of focus around something that we do not have today, not just in the fire service, but in general. That flamboyant, ostentatious individual that we want to get behind. You mentioned in one of our previous shows, George Patton. There was a guy that everybody got behind, even though they didn't necessarily agree with him. We've had presidents of late that have been somewhat of the leader capacity, but not like the old school leaders. We get into the fire service. We can list a whole litany of people, including yourself, that are legends in the fire service, but who are our new legends to be? I'm not sure they're out there, it's certainly within the definition that I am comfortable with. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, we call this thing table talk because this is a conversation that goes on around dining room tables. And I would be willing to bet you that there are people listening to this right now that have had conversations about what they think is happening to the leadership within their organization. They're saying things around the table like, you know, the boss has got his act together, or the boss doesn't know what he's doing. Leaders are subject to constant scathing criticism, constant reevaluation of their value, and so forth. And what got me intrigued in this topic actually was I was at a recent fire chiefs seminar where they were asking that rhetorical question, where have all the leaders gone? And they were talking to a room full of 250 fire chiefs. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, gee, some of them are in this room right now. How do we know a person is a leader? How do we recognize them, and so forth? And of course, here's a phenomenon that goes on around the dining room table also. There's a tendency for the more mature people in any given profession to kind of look down their nose at who they're being replaced by. I've seen it in I've gone through multiple generations in the fire service. And whoever's in charge at the time kind of goes back, looks down the hill, and they go, there's nobody down there that's equal to us. And then somebody does get to be equal to them. You see, I don't believe that the leaders have gone away. I think they're evolving. I think they're morphing. The concept of leadership, I think, is undergoing some transformation. You made some comments at the very beginning about bigger than, larger than life kinds of people. Well, we still have those kinds of people, but in some cases, they're not as effective as somebody who is not larger than life, but very effective in life. My perspective on leaders is that the only way you can really determine whether they're doing any good or not is whether other people are following them. Are people choosing to follow the path that the leader has blazed? My definition of a leader has nothing to do with being a fire chief. It has to do with being able to influence outcomes and to make things happen and to cause things to change, and so forth. I look at Lee Iacocca, a very popular book writer several years ago, but there's a whole generation out there today that if he was on television, they wouldn't even know who he was. They wouldn't recognize him. So let's put this back in the context of leadership in the fire service. You know where the leaders have gone, in my opinion? Into hiding.
Well, when I hear that, my first immediate word association is fear of litigation, or reduced down to fear. And it's always been my argument since I've gotten into the fire service, from a research point of view, that fear is the single biggest adversary that the fire service has, with nothing even coming close. That's my opinion. But fear factors into so many of our decisions to do things, to not do things, to promote, to not promote, how to respond, how to react. I don't know. Well, what are your thoughts?
It's kind of hard to look a fire chief in the eye and say, I think you're afraid of something, when the guy has spent his entire life chasing fires and going to emergencies. However, I'm going to agree with you.
But that's a comfort zone for him.
That's a comfort zone. See, what I think is one of our biggest fears is fears of uncontrolled consequences. Like, if I do this, I don't have any control over the outcome. If I experiment and I fail, I'm subject to criticism. Let's go back to leadership behaviors for just a few seconds and talk about what constitutes being a leader in the fire service. I know a lot of individuals at various age groups and various tenures in the fire service that are more than willing to take a chance. They're risk takers. They'll experiment with a program. Mm-hmm. I can also tell you that there are individuals who are widely admired who've never taken a chance on anything, but they've been very safe in how they do things. So what we're trying to focus on here is what constitutes leadership behavior. Where I'm trying to come at this issue is that every generation has a slightly different definition of what that means. If you took I call them the Bull of the Woods fire chiefs. What does that mean? Bull of the Woods was a cartoon back in the 1940s where it talked about how bosses were always very, you know, larger than life and all this other stuff. And those kinds of people are clearly evident in the history of the American fire service. But there's a whole new generation out there now that's having to be part of a city management team. They're having to be part of a political power structure. They're having to be part of a professional development concept and so forth. They can't afford to be larger than life. They have to be perceived as competent. They have to be perceived as being trustworthy and that kind of thing.
You know, I wonder as I'm listening and I'm thinking of my own personal experiences, does that problem or that issue start in the first hour of the fire academy, or in my case, the police academy? Mm-hmm. We have it drummed in our head, day one, hour one, right at your first formal inspection, how things are going to be and how to react and operate within a very confined structural environment, with a hierarchical. But none of that really applies to the mechanics of actually running an organization and playing in the big picture. We get mechanicalized right out of the box. Are we perhaps not starting folks off on the right foot?
It's an interesting proposition because I have participated in that process. I've been an academy commander. I've run recruit academies. I've run officers' programs and so forth. I think my response to that would be that we still tend to look for character traits in people that allows us to get behind them, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Isn't it not true, for example, in a recruit academy, and we got a bunch of kids between, say, 18 and 25 years old, and we'll pick one of them as the academy chief. Why did we pick that individual? Is it because he's better looking than everybody else? Not usually. It's usually because they got some kind of character traits that are capable of influencing the group. The people will follow them and so forth. So I don't think it's counterproductive to have that structure. I think what we're really talking about here is at what point in time do you step out of that uniformity and start being unique, start being the leader, not a leader, but the leader.
Well, I can certainly understand the mindset of some that are listening saying, the last thing I need is some buck recruit coming in here and telling me how to run my organization. I don't need my guys thinking about how I do my job. I need them to focus on the basic core elements of learning how to do what they do. And so I can understand that. So now we have a bit of a conflict here. How do we get people to meet their core standards and at the same time start cultivating or at least planting that seed that this is a much bigger organization, and particularly if you're with a city or a county, you're part of a much bigger machine. It's not just the fire department. It's a little different in a district, and it's certainly different in the volunteer world. But even then, you have to learn how to assimilate in your organization. In the volunteer world, for example, your jobs may be a lot more diverse. You may be a firefighter, you may be a captain or an engineer, but you're also the person that's doing the books, or you're also the guy that's keeping the training records, or you're also the mechanic, so you're wearing these different hats. Perhaps that person's a little more diversified within the element of his own organization. But I think this is an interesting conversation because when we start looking at leaders and those people that need the skills, it's certainly going to be more than pulling a 150-foot live line.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, leadership exists at every level in the fire service. The difference is in the ability to influence outcomes for the entire organization. A fire captain is a leader in a fire station. A battalion chief is in a leadership responsibility for a shift or a bureau of an organization. A deputy chief has got leadership functionality. You know, we started this conversation off about where have all the leaders gone? You know, one of my first questions is, look around and see if you can find them. You know, what kinds of things do you admire with people that you work with? I've had some outstanding examples to witness young men and women coming up in the fire service today that are half my age, that I look at them and go, I'd follow that person myself because I trust them. I have confidence in them. They know what they're talking about and so forth. And yet at the same time, I hear a lot of people say, well, where have all the leaders gone? They're still there. We just got to understand that leadership is also situational, and it has to be linked to outcomes. Leaders make change.
I'm thinking these are interesting conversations because they're not choreographed. What we're talking about is raw. This is something that comes up as we go. I'm thinking, you know, where's the incentive to be a leader today in a bureaucratic organization? I mean, it's one thing if you're going to start your own business or you're starting off from scratch. That's different. But to come into a bureaucratic organization is pretty much process-ridden. What's my incentive to want to do that? And I think maybe when we talk about where have the leaders gone, maybe the question isn't where the leaders have gone, but where has the incentive to be a leader gone? Maybe that's a better discussion to have.
I think there, you mentioned fear early on. I think there's a certain amount of anxiety about long-term exposure to liability and trying to be a leader. If you try to do something that everybody resists, how's it usually resolved? Well, there's a battle. And when the battle's all over and the victims are scattered out all over the landscape, somebody is going to emerge the victor. It's not always the leader. Sometimes it's the defense attorney, you know.
Well, you know, when we look at the public safety, and in this case the fire service, and we look at the challenges that are confronting us today, whether it be financial, staffing, equipment, political, what have you, the tendency seems to be to hook into what we know has worked in the past. And it's holding us back. It's keeping us from making the decisions that need to be made so that we can leap forward into the future. And that's a leadership decision. And the comfort zone is to go back to what we were doing in the 70s. But that's not going to work for us. Not in today's world where information travels at the speed of light.
Well, bottom line of my discussion about leadership is that I don't think leaders have disappeared. I just think that they have turned into a different kind of working relationship. The kind of people that I'm anticipating might be listening to this tape, they've got a question to ask and answer, and that is, am I a leader? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? Are people following me, or am I standing here on a street corner all by myself? And leadership is kind of an interesting functionality in that it is not something that you can do once and that is sustained forever. It's something you have to continue to perpetuate. You have to act in certain ways. You've got to behave in certain ways. So, and leadership, and you read this in the textbooks, it's not a position anymore. It's a behavior.
And an attitude. I think certainly in the police department, I'm sure the fire service is the same way. You've got people that you'll get in behind to go hit the front door, to get involved in the heavy, hard stuff, but you would never want that particular person to be in front of the city council making a presentation or ever touching a calculator making mathematic computations for your budget. On the flip side, there's guys that you would never want to be in a bad situation with, and yet they would make outstanding presenter to the city council, which is also a leadership task, but of a different type.
Well, all those are tasks, and what I'm talking about is that, and I know I've said this like three times now, but leadership is a continuous behavior that exhibits the fact that you're taking people somewhere where they want to go, one way or the other. They want to go there with you. They want to follow you. The epitome of leadership is followership.
Well, very good. We're at the end of this segment. Any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, if the leaders have really disappeared, like a lot of people are claiming, I think all someone has to do is to go back down to an engine company level and visit a firehouse in which there's confidence in the company officer and there's a sense of purpose behind the fire company and realize that leadership is alive and well where it's being practiced effectively. There are places where it's not being done very well, and that's why people think that leaders are absent. They're not. They're just in a different arena.
And with that thought, we've come to the end of this episode of Table Talk. Let's be safe out there.
This has been Table Talk with Ronald J. Coleman and Michael S. Williams, produced and distributed by the Fire Services Training Institute. Production assistance by Mark A. Ward. Special thanks to Chief Michael Dyer and the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Remember, train like your life depends on it, because it does.
Table Talk programming is intended for personal and organizational use only. Any duplication or commercial use is prohibited.